weekend so far, and I have the opportunity to kind of help with this last outline. I will be sharing the first half, and Curtis will take the second half of message number three on returning to, enjoying, and loving Christ. So let's look at the title again of the whole conference and read Christ after each line there, right? Returning to Christ, enjoying Christ, and loving Christ. And these three items of returning to Christ and of enjoying Christ or partaking of Christ and loving Christ are all covered in the book of Ruth, this short book of four chapters. So we've covered what was in chapter one on her returning. And I hope that you wrote that down, what the brother shared yesterday, that the outcome of Ruth's life and Naomi with her together, the outcome was not determined by her condition. And I think this is very important for all of us to realize. Our outcome, even what our brother shared with us last night, our outcome is not determined by our condition, but by our choice. Ruth chose. She didn't have to go back. Oh, she did. She wasn't from there. She did not have to go to Israel with Naomi. She left her husband. He died. She could stay with her people. Naomi encouraged her to stay, but she chose. She chose. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you dwell, I will dwell. And wherever you die, I will die. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. This is a choice. She made her choice. And every item that we've enjoyed this weekend, the brothers have shared with us, we also, this is a picture of our Christian experience. Write that down. Ruth is a picture. It's a type of our experience. And because we all, who are believers, made a choice. You did not have to believe. You know, sometimes we may feel, I grew up, you know, I'm probably a fifth to sixth generation Christian in my family. And it's easy for me to feel like, well, I'm a Christian because everybody, my family. But no, I had to become a Christian by choosing, by deciding, I want Jesus. And actually, in my case, I was very young. I need Jesus. I realize without the Lord, I'm condemned, I'm doomed. So I need the Lord. And I chose and made a solid and firm choice, probably about 8 years old. And I made a firm choice to get baptized on my 10th birthday. I got baptized when I was 10. That's a choice. We all made this choice to become a Christian. And now that's to return from being in the world, returning to Christ. Now, sometimes we drift away. Actually, we all drift away. And we may swerve a little here and a little there. So we need to still come back to our choice and our decision and make a decision to return to the Lord, to come back to the Lord. Even, I would say, it's not bad daily. Come back to the Lord. And then we have this marvelous portion on enjoying Christ. That is the fact that from the chapter that she went to glean in the fields, to feed on the... And that was her right, because God had this ordinance that the land was given to all the Israelites, right? They were rescued out of Egypt and brought back to the good land, and they each tribe had a portion of land. And then each family had a portion of that land that was from their tribe. They had physical property in the land of Israel. And they had to raise their crops on that land, their herds. All of their livelihood came from the land. And they had to work it and raise the herds and so forth. That was their inheritance. That was their life. Actually, that was their blessing and gift from God. He gave it to them. And then he made a provision, which we'll talk a little bit about here, that if, because of some reason, poverty, you had to sell your land because you were in debt or for some other reason, you had to sell your land, your nearest relative could redeem that land back for your family if you had to sell it. Now, that's what happened in this case. Elimelech left his land, and then he died in Moab. And his sons who would inherit that land, they got married, and they should inherit, but they died. So now, when Naomi brings Ruth back, in this chapter 3 and part of chapter 4, we see how Ruth was able to get that inheritance back for her family, and then eventually to raise up the children to take over that land. There was a provision. There was a provision. And that provision was that the nearest relative could redeem that land for that brother who was that person who either died or who lost the land by marrying his wife to that dead brother, by marrying his wife. And that's what we're going to see this morning. And that's what Naomi wanted very much for Ruth. In chapter 3, when she came back, she had it in her heart to find rest for Ruth. And let's look at the outline. Roman numeral 1. Could we all read that together? After coming,
exercising her right to enjoy its rich produce, Ruth still needed a home so that she could have rest. This kind of rest could come only through marriage.
Ruth needed to find a home. Yes, she was there gleaning. She had the food. She had the, that was her right to glean from there. But her mother-in-law realized she needs to find a home, which means she needs to get a husband and to have a home so that she could have, how does it say, full rest in the title of our outline, a complete rest. She found some rest in returning and some rest in gleaning and getting the food, but she still didn't have a home. And Naomi knew. And Naomi was kind of the middleman in this marriage coming up here, kind of putting things together, you know. And she knew. And she knew that Boaz, when she heard that Ruth was gleaning in the field of Boaz, I think she got very excited because she knew that Boaz was a close relative of theirs. And so she encouraged her, don't go to any other field. You just glean in Boaz's field. And then she arranged this whole situation where now when he goes to rest that night, you go and find him and take, you know, he's got some kind of covering on him. Put that over your feet, over his feet, over his covering, and you go there and wait for him. And when he wakes up, he'll find you there. And that's what happened. It was very proper. That was a very proper thing at that time. And when he awoke and found her there, he was very surprised. Because it says in this chapter, he knew, and actually everyone in the town or that area knew she was a worthy woman. And he was surprised because he was older than her. And he was surprised that she didn't go after some of the younger men there, you know, in that family or in that area. But that she was there, in a sense, offering herself to him for marriage. And so he said, there is one kinsman that is closer than I am. And I will ask him if he will redeem for you this land. But if he doesn't redeem it for you, I will redeem it. You know what that is? He proposed to her. He proposed to her. If he doesn't do it, if he won't marry you, I will marry you. That was a promise. He promised her. Right? That was a promise. That was a promise. He promised her. And it was quite a noble thing. And because, you know, he was keeping God's ordinance. This is a very special ordinance. Part of the law. Part of the law. You can write that down. This was the very special ordinance from God, written in the law of Moses. And as far as I know, I think Brother Lee mentioned this in the life study, this one instance is the only time that ordinance was used. This one instance. At least in the scripture that we know, it's the only time. And what an important, you know, time for, because Ruth and Boaz, and when they started, they had children, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they were the lineage of David, the king. And Christ has to be a son of David. That's prophesied. He has to come out of that lineage. So this ordinance, I believe, God foreordained this ordinance just for this situation. Just for this situation. Anyway, I think it's a marvelous, marvelous thing. Okay, so the only way is that she could have this kind of rest through marriage. So, just to finish the story, that Boaz went to this nearer relative. And in front of the people of the town, which is the kind of the way they carried out business, you know, something official, he let him know, Ruth is here with Naomi, and you are the closest relative. Will you raise up to redeem her land? Will you marry her and raise up children to take care and redeem this land? And he said he couldn't do it. He was too concerned about his own inheritance. He said, I can't do it, but you can do it. He told Boaz, but you're the next relative. You can do it. And he said, yes, I will do it. And this is how Boaz and Ruth came together and got married through this marvelous, marvelous ordinance. And so now Ruth not only has rest by gleaning, she has rest because of marriage. She can find rest, and she has a home because of her marriage. You know, you can't have a full rest without having a home. And to have a home, it's really a family, to have a couple there, to have a home. So this is a marvelous picture of how Ruth, who was far from God, a Moabitess, from a very incestuous tribe, a terrible situation, but because of her choice, she could return and be part of God's people. And because of her right in that choice to glean, she was able to feed and help Naomi, and they were able to feed and live there. And then, because of her following Naomi's leading, how to get near to Boaz and open to Boaz, and I mean, you know, she didn't ask him to marry her, but anyway, I believe he fell in love with her by watching her and seeing how she took care of herself in the proper way that she was gleaning with those around her. And he even told the younger men, don't let her glean anywhere else. Let her stay here. So she was a worthy woman, and now she found a home, her rest. Let's read A. Although we may be saved and love the Lord, in order to have a home for our rest, we must take him as our husband and live together with him in the church as our home. Christ as our husband and the church with him. Rest. So we need to take Christ as our husband. So the burden of this morning, our brothers and I will share with you, is that, write this down, we need to love the Lord. We need to love him with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our mind. We need to love him with everything. We need to give him the first love. We need to love him above everything else. And we have to be careful because our heart is very sticky and it swerves and goes to other things. And that, in the Bible, kind of picture of idolatry and other things. We love other things. We may love our sports or our education or some friends or many, many things. Entertainment. We our heart gets stuck on so many things. So we need to be careful and be exercised to love the Lord above everything, and to give the Lord the first place in our hearts and in our strength. And it does help that our brothers, as our brothers share with her in the morning, for us to spend the first minutes of our day with the Lord. I enjoy what Ricky said last night. We only have today. As we get up today, let's give the Lord the first place. Give him 10 minutes, read a little bit, pray a little bit, sing to him, and enjoy the Lord and give him the first place. I know last night many of us are concerned, oh, how are we going to make it and what's going to happen? And there's so many things, and you know, this is real. What our brother shared with us last night is all what is in the scripture. And it's rare that we can put them together in one sitting like this. And I know many were frightened a little bit, maybe afraid a little bit. I was too when I first saw this, but eventually I realized the way to be ready for the Lord's coming is to love Him. Amen. This is the way. This is the answer. It's not to do so many things. The Lord may ask us to do things, that's okay. But it's out of our love for Him. And sometimes we say, oh, but Brother Dennis, I don't love the Lord. I love the Lord. Well, how do I love the Lord? Well, we learned from our brother Benjamin Chen that he had this question when he was a high schooler in the church in Taipei. And he asked the saints, how can we love the Lord? And they helped them, and he helped us very much by saying this: if you feel you don't love the Lord, spend time with Him. Spend more time with Him. The more time you spend with Him, the more you will love Him. Amen. This is not a kind of an emotional thing, although we do love the Lord with all our heart, but it comes out of seeing Him, spending time with Him, and it comes from His love toward us. If you would, you know, we have this hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Lord of Glory Died." When you consider Him and consider Him going to the cross for you and bearing every sin you've ever committed on the cross, how can you help but love Him? We're full of sin. We lie. We lie to our parents. We lie to our teachers. We lie to each other. We're double-tongued. Yeah. We say, well, to our friend, oh, you're my best friend. You're my best friend. And then they go away, and then you go, you know what she did? What is that? You know? We have lust in our hearts. We want this. We want that. This is all sin. We sin all the time, every day. So that's why sometimes we feel far from the Lord, because, as our brothers mentioned, the sin separates you from your God. It's not that His hand is too short or that His ear is too thin, He cannot hear. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, your iniquities, your sins, have separated you so that He will not hear. Not that He cannot, He will not. Because He can't tolerate sin. He is righteousness itself, and unrighteousness he can't tolerate that. So He made the provision. He went to that cross, and He was on that cross 6 hours. In the middle of that time, at noon, the sky went black. The first 3 hours, mostly judged just by man. Oh, why don't you save us? You can save yourself. But at noon, God came in to judge your sin. Amen. And my sin. And every sin I've committed and you've committed. And every sin every person on the earth has ever committed and will commit were laid on the Lord Jesus, the sinless one. They were laid on Him. And that is what He was concerned about when He prayed, "Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will." Because He knew at that moment, that period of time, He would be separated from God the Father, because God, in His economy, has to judge our sins on Jesus. So in 1 Peter it says, He bore our sins on the tree. He took every sin I've ever committed, you've ever committed, and He bore them there. And God judged them there, and He shed His blood for those sins, for every one of our sins. That's the kind of love the Lord Jesus has for you. And that's the kind of love that draws us to love Him. We love because He first loved us. That's what John 3:16 talks about, right? For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes into Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. So he died for you. Personally, he died for you. And he took care of every one of your sins. And that's why it's so important for us. We need to experience this forgiveness whenever we sin by confessing. Write that down. Our relationship with the Lord and our going on with the Lord, even our preparing for the Lord's coming, must include dealing with our sins, even daily dealing with our sins. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me what I did. And he will bring things to you. You spend some time with him. He will bring specific sins to you. That just confess that. Confess them. Then your fellowship with him is restored. Your enjoyment of him is present, is real, and you can grow in Christ. He will spread more into your heart. That is how we are preparing for the Lord's return. If we take care of loving the Lord with all our heart, we will be ready when he comes. We will be ready. We don't know when he comes, and in one sense, it doesn't really matter. As long as we're loving him and spending the time with him, then that's how we marry Christ. Right. We're betrothed to him. Paul said, I betrothed you to one husband. We're engaged to Christ. But for us to take him as our husband, it's a bigger step than just loving the Lord. We need to love the Lord. But now, you are all in high school. Some of you are on your way to college. Many of you are college students. Now we need to take that step. Take him as your husband. That's further than just loving him. Yes, I love him. He shed his blood for me. But now I want to live with him as my husband. Right? It is no longer I that live, but it is Christ who lives in me. This is a mingled living. This is just like a, amen, you know, like a marriage life. The husband, nothing is more intimate than the marriage life. The husband and wife really care and love for each other and need to take care of each other. And this is the way that we need to live with the Lord. Okay, let's read B together. The only way for us to have rest is to take Christ as our husband. We must and take him, husband, living in the closest. If you have your Bibles, will you open to 2 Corinthians 2:9 with me? 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is a wonderful verse. It's listed here in letter B. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Okay, do you have it? Let's read it together. But as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and has not come up with man's, things which God has prepared. This is a wonderful verse. Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which has not come up in man's heart. No, we'd not even imagine the things God has prepared for you who love him, for you who love him. And this footnote is really wonderful. I wonder, Mark, could you read that footnote? Stand up. We can all look at it if you have footnotes. Do you have it in your... Here, then. Right there. You stand up and read that.
To realize and participate in the deep and hidden things God has ordained and prepared for us requires us not only to believe in him, but also to love him.
Amen.
To fear God, to worship God, and to believe in God, that is to receive God, are all inadequate. To love him is the indispensable requirement.
Amen.
To love God means, amen, to set our entire being, spirit, soul, and body, with the heart, soul, mind, and strength, absolutely on him. Amen. That is to let our entire being be occupied by him and lost in him, so that he becomes everything to us and we are one with him practically in our daily life. In this way, we have the closest and most intimate fellowship with God, and we are able to enter into his heart and apprehend all its secrets. Thus, we not only realize, but also experience, enjoy, and fully participate in these deep and hidden things of God.
Amen. What a marvelous note. This is how we need to live. And then, all that God has for us, he will give to us because we love him. In these books, I'm not exactly sure now which title it is, but I think it is Living in the Song, Living a Life in the Song of Songs or something. Anyway, there's a quote in one of Brother Lee's books that was written into a song, In Life and Building in the Song of Songs. I think it's chapter 2. Brother Lee has this paragraph, and his sister wrote this into a song, and this is the lyric of the song. Give yourself to love the Lord. No other way is so prevailing. No other way is so, and no other way is so safe. Give yourself to love the Lord. No other way is so rich and so full of enjoyment. Each morning we must rise up and say to him, Lord Jesus, I love you. Give yourself to love the Lord. Do not care for anything else. Just love him. Do not care. Give yourself to love the Lord. We are not our own, Lord. All we have, we give to you. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
This was Brother Lee's encouragement in that book. We need to give ourselves. No other way is so prevailing. No other way is so safe. We need to give ourselves to love the Lord. And this is how we can have a marriage life with him and live with him and take him as our husband, which also means that we need to check with him about things. In the marriage life, you know, maybe we think, well, you know, the husband's the head. It goes both ways. I need to check with my wife about things, and she needs to check with me about things, because we're living this life together. And it's the same with the Lord. To take him as the husband, you need to give him the first place and check with him about so many things. I'd like to know if we could sing that. Before, I'll just close with this song. Number 12, I think. Lord, keep my heart always true to you. This song was written by Howard Higashi. Okay, no, there's no need to talk. Just turn to it. And our brother Howard was a person who really loved the Lord, maybe more than any brother I knew in the past years. He just loved the Lord to the uttermost. And he wrote this song for you. He wrote this song for the young people. There was a situation, and the young people weren't coming back to the meeting, and so he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord told him, write a song this week, and then call the young people and tell them, come to your house, you want to teach them this song. So he wrote a song. Every week he wrote a song for them. And they all came back, and they were restored to the church life, to the young people's meeting. And this is also in this outline, and Curtis will cover a little more about that. We need to come back to our home, the church, right? Take Christ as our husband and live in the church life. So let's just sing this, and then Brother Curtis will go on. Amen.
Thank you. Serving ones, sing the chorus. Young people, pray it. Young people, sing it. Together, no instruments.
Your love constrains me to give my all to you.
Amen.
Lord, I can't help it. My heart is drawn to you. Oh, what a privilege I give myself to you.
Okay. Wow. That was wonderful. I don't know how I'm supposed to go now. I think you guys got the point. Our response is, Lord Jesus, I love you. Let's all say that. Lord Jesus, I love you. How about I really love you? Lord Jesus, I really love you. I give myself to you. Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. I can't help it. I belong to you. If I had 1,000, I pour all on you. Amen. Nothing withholding. Amen. Nothing withholding. I love this song. This is, this morning as I was spending time with the Lord, I was just reminded of Naomi. It's just, Naomi is so wonderful. We'll get to Ruth. But, I'd like to maybe just speak on behalf of all the serving ones and all our parents and just all the ones that care for us that are here this weekend. We focus on Ruth, and we're all Ruth, We're being restored to our portion. But, I think when all of us are sharing with you, I just have a sense, we're just praying. We're just praying for you. When Ruth was in the field, you know what Naomi was doing all day? She was just praying. Lord, may she meet the right person to fulfill this ordinance, right? She was just praying. Ruth had clung to her, but Naomi just prayed. Lord, Naomi had tasted something of the Lord, of his people, that she returned. And, shared that it was probably hard even for her to return. You haven't been in the meetings for a while. It's hard. There's just, we have our cons, but it's not easy. But Naomi, she was just praying for Ruth. She was praying that she would be brought to Christ. And for us, we're praying that you would be brought to Christ. And that you would come to know him as your husband. It's not convincing words, but it's a choice. There's Ruth made two choices. She chose to follow Naomi. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you dwell, I will dwell. Your people, my people, your God, my God. Right? She chose. But there was a first choice just to follow Naomi. But then eventually She had to choose Boaz, right? We may have chosen, Lord, I believe into you. I receive you. Take you as my life. Even, Lord, I love you. But what about, Lord, I give my whole heart to you. I give you every dream, every desire that's in my heart. Take it. I want you to have that place in my heart.
Amen.
You know? And you know who was there along the way just praying? Was Naomi. She was just praying for Ruth that she could be brought into a full rest. You know, I just think this is so sweet. You know, we were talking about the gleaning yesterday, and it's the corners of the fields. But I would, you know, I just preface it in this way that we always want to be getting the gleanings of the Bible. But actually, there's even something richer than just the glean. There's the full harvest.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the full land. There's the full field. Because the gleanings was the right of the sojourners. But when we choose to be married to Christ, to take him as our all, guess what? We get the whole field. We get the house. We get the rest. You know, when Peter was following Mark around yesterday and picking up, it was a lot of work. It's 6 gallons. Yeah, that's a lot. Whole day's work where you're just picking up. It's a lot of work. But the reapers, in that same amount of time, how much did they gain? You know, how much more of an enjoyment was there? And it's the same thing when we give our life. Maybe we chose to be baptized, right? That's a display. Lord, I give my life to you. That I want to enter into this full rest. You know, even I want to, when Ruth gained Boaz as her husband, her whole debt, this burden that she was carrying was forgiven. And she was able to be restored to her portion. But guess what? She even had a home now. You know, she had a home to go to. You know, I just think about that. We have this happy place where sometimes it's our room. Maybe there's a couch, a chair in our house, a place that you're like, that's my spot. You know, there's this family. They just moved recently. They were in the church in Lowell. This room at their house, and it's a sunroom, and all four sides, there's a glass screen door, and all four sides is glass, so you just get sun in, and that was my favorite room. I remember one time I drove up there, and I was going to spend some time with them, and I just went, and they live about an hour from me, and I went and fell asleep on their couch for about 2 hours. And I was like, oh, man, I didn't get any work done. And I had to wake up, and I just had to go, and I had to leave. But that was a place of rest for me,
right?
You know? This is, I hope today, when we think of the church life, you would think of, where's my sunroom? Where's my place at? Even if I can go there for a little bit, I'm just recharged, you know? I'm just rested. I hope this weekend you feel like you've just been rested, you know, that you're... That you just be energized, whatever's lying before you this week, whatever you have coming up in the next few months, you just feel, wow, this is the real rest, you know? Maybe not physically, you stayed up late, you did a lot of things, but inwardly, you just, oh, sigh of relief, you know? So, anyways, this is the rest that we're talking about. And it comes in two ways, that Christ is our husband, but I'd say also Christ and the church as our dwelling place, right? And in order to experience this, this takes our choosing. It takes a matter of our will. You know, even the Lord, this is what's so beautiful to him in the Song of Songs. A will that chooses him is so beautiful. Who would have ever thought? Yes, our mind is the leading part of us, but our will, man, when you choose the Lord, oh, this just makes him happy. You know, even Brother Dennis alluded to it in Ruth, that Boaz was a little surprised. He's like, wow, your kindness, your loving kindness to choose me. He says, you could have chosen the choice men, the choice young men. He realized there were other eligible ones, but she chose him. This made him so happy, you know. This is the same thing with the Lord in us. He wants us to choose him. He's done all of this. He's forgiven our sins. And guess what? I'll probably do something today, and he'll still forgive that. And he's always ready, but he's just waiting for me then to choose him. And when I do, he gives all of himself to me. And this is there's an inward rest that we're brought into. So I just want to go through these points in Roman numeral 2. And I would just say, really, my burden lies in point B. The first part is very important, but I think I just want to say this, something about the church life and how it can belong to us today. So, all right, I'll read Roman numeral 2. Paul told the Corinthians, "I am jealous over you with a jealousy of God, for I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." Let's all read that last part together. We need to love the Lord more, and we need to help others to love and the Lord more. To take the position of Paul and say, jealous over each of your hearts that they would love the Lord, you know? Not for you to do so much, but man, I've had such a good time being with you all this weekend that you're just loving the Lord. That makes me so happy. This is Paul's heart. This is my heart. This is all of our hearts. We're don't love anything else. Yeah, there's other things that you may enjoy, but don't let anything else have the first place in your heart. That's my prayer, you know? That's my prayer is that, oh, I love the Lord Jesus, right? Yes, there's other things, but Lord, I can't help it. When you all sing that, oh, my heart just leaps, you know? My heart just leaps. Lord, I just belong to you. I want to be presented to you when you return, right? This is my prayer. I think this is all of our prayer for one another. Okay, you will be my God. So there's an aspect of us personally with the Lord. Maybe we say this is more in relation of really Christ is our husband. We need to have a firsthand knowledge of the Lord and direct experiences of God. You know, I just want to re-speak what's been shared in 1 John 1:7. We walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with him, and his blood cleanses us. Have knowledge of the Lord? You want to have direct experiences of the Lord? We got to come to him. We have to just present ourselves to him, you know? And sometimes it's once we start walking, you just, Lord, I love you. Lord Jesus, this morning, you know, I was just pacing, and I just spent a little while, Lord, I don't know what to say. Lord, I love you. Just spending time. And then he just brought something up, and I just needed to confess, but I just began to, Lord, I want to be where you are. You're in the light. Bring me in the light. When I'm in the light, there's just something that's exposed. And he just was real specific, and I just confessed it. And then, Lord, I love you a little more. Thank you, Lord. This is how we can be brought into a knowledge of the Lord where he just forgives. Don't sometimes we just, there's something within us and, oh, Lord, I just need to be forgiven. I feel like no one can forgive me, right? We need to be brought into the experience of just being cleansed where, okay, I confess it. Forget about it. Ruth, she forgot about her history. She had a bad background, but she had a real experience with Boaz, which is really a picture of Christ. It didn't matter anymore. Every day we can have this, right? And it really starts with our confessing our sins. I hope we would never graduate. Nothing, no sin's too small. No sin is too great, okay? And then point two, we need to have a personal. Let's read this one together. And let's have a little impact, a little punch with each of these personal affections. And pause just a little bit, okay? We need to have a personal, affectionate, intimate, and private relationship with the Lord. Wow. Personal. You know, I have a lot of relationships with people here. You know, and maybe our relationship, you know, with some of you towards me, you're like, hi, Brother Curtis, and I don't really know you that well, and, you know, I'm happy to talk to you, but maybe our relationship just isn't that personal yet. We haven't spent one-on-one time with one another. You know, there's some brothers, Gabe, we spent, you know, I'll pick on Gabe a little bit. We, this semester, I pick him up from school, sometimes some of his friends, and we go to the gym, and we work out together. And I think some people thought I was personal trainer, not a personal trainer. But we'd be at the gym together and be working out, you know, and then, you know, we'd get some food, and then I'd hang out with him. We'd practice the guitar a little bit. We'd have dinner with him and his dad and I. See some other brothers, sorry. But Gabe and I, we have a very personal relationship. That's what the kind of relationship the Lord wants. Go to the gym with the Lord. Have snack time with the Lord. Play the guitar with the Lord. You know, play video games with the Lord. To have a personal relationship with you and an affectionate. How about we say, Lord Jesus, I love you. You know, you don't say that to everybody. But if you want to have an affectionate relationship with someone, you got to use the L word. You know, my family, it's just we don't see each other all the time. They, most of them live in California. But even, I don't know, every time we can't get off the phone without saying, I love you. Even my siblings, it just warms my heart. We have a hard time. My sister, da-da-da-da-da, all right, bye, I love you. It's just, wow, just makes me want to call my sister again. You know, it's just, there's something affectionate there and intimate. Oh, they know our details. They know what's going on in our life, right? They know us in an intimate way. They know when I'm holding back the tone in my voice, right? But they're there. They're listening. They care for us. They love. This is the Lord. He's always waiting, you know? I bet a lot of you, when you read about coming and laying down at Boaz's feet, you were probably like, and he woke up startled, you're probably like, was it a little awkward? But the thing is, there's nothing awkward with the Lord. He just took care of her. What may be awkward to us, he doesn't care. He's just like, that's okay. Because he knows us and he loves us. I think a lot of us are afraid of being awkward. Oh, you know, of being judged a little bit. Oh, you're too emotional. You're being so dramatic. But with the Lord, it's never that way. You know? He loves us in an intimate way, in private. We need to have times. Matthew 6:6, we have our private room. We need to shut the door behind us, right? I remember Brother Ricky, he says, there's a place in his house, but he won't tell you where it is, that he spends time with the Lord, you know? Maybe you've been there. I haven't been, but he won't tell you where it is. I have a place in my room, you know, even other certain places in my house, places I won't tell you exactly where, but it's like I have a private place. Where it's like, when I hit that spot, it's just me and the Lord, you know? And I don't want anybody else intruding. We need to have times like that. We need to set times. You know, you set time to do homework. You set time to go to practice. When was the last time you set time with the Lord? You know, when you're practicing a sport, do you have time to also do your math homework simultaneously? No. You know, if you're practicing tennis, you're like, 2 + 2 = 4. Okay, like, what is the, you know, the square? It's like, eventually your brain can't do it. We need to set times with the Lord. We need to have a private time. Okay, number 3, we need to have a single heart towards the Lord. A single heart. That just means we only love Him. And you know what? We may love other things. But you know how we get to having a single heart? Is you just tell the Lord, Lord, I love you. And then you tell Him, you know, for me in college, I loved Ultimate Frisbee. I lived it. I breathed. You know, I used to go to the prayer meeting sometimes, and I'd go in my whole uniform, and I'd leave a little early, and I'd go to practice. And that's how I went. You know, the States, I'd run off, and it was like, where are you this weekend? And anyways, that was my life in college for a while. And rock climbing, those are things that I love. But you know what? I just told the Lord, Lord, I love you, but I love these things. Lord, I want to love you more than this. You know, it's not, just drop it, don't do it anymore, it's evil, run away. No, Lord, come in. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. You know, just like we need to ask the Lord, is there something between? We ask the Lord, Lord, is there something that I love more than you? And He may touch that. And I don't want to label anything for anyone. But you just ask, Lord, is there something in my heart that's before you? And He just may be that. And you already may know. But it's still good to ask. Because when, you know, when we ask and He speaks, there's a supply. Don't just go by your concept, but you ask Him, Lord. And for me, it was Frisbee. You know, we chuckle, but really, You know, even I remember one time I had a Frisbee sticker on my water bottle, and eventually the Lord, you know, he said, take that off. Because it was a reminder to me that you have this before me. You know, it was a small thing, but I just, Lord, is that still the first place in my heart? Do you have the first place? But when we talk to the Lord in this way, we're giving him the room to come in and have the first place for that relationship to develop. And this is how we give him our first and our best love, our highest love. That eventually it's not Curtis convincing you to come to a conference or to a meeting, but eventually it's, hey, Curtis, I'll see you tonight. Or I get there and it's just, oh, wow, yeah, I got myself here. It's your choice. Eventually it wasn't Naomi bringing Ruth, but it was Ruth going out. It was Ruth choosing Boaz, right? There's something sweet eventually we were brought into, but it starts with our conversations, our asking. And then we need to maintain a simplicity before God and not be distracted by Satan's stratagems. You know, stratagems, it's a very specific word. It means a trick in warfare for deceiving the enemy. It's not just a tactic, but it's a trick. You know, it's funny. You know, Satan knows the Bible. He knows it quite well. The Lord has mapped out his entire game plan. You know, in sports a lot of times, people will accuse people, oh, they got their hands on our playbook. You know, The Lord's like, you can have my playbook. It's like, it's all in the open, but Satan, he's trying to do this, and he's trying to do that, and he's jumping through hoops. But the Lord's like, it's all out in the open. You know? But there's nothing you can do to stop me. But Satan's always tricky. He's trying to deceive us. He's trying to, hey, you know, AP's exams are coming up. You don't have time to study. Yeah, that's really real. I know. I've been there, you know. You don't have time. You need to study this weekend. You don't have these 5 minutes. You know, it's deceiving. You need to take care of your studies. You're a student. That's a priority in life. But does that have your first place and your full attention? Right? So we need to maintain our simplicity. You know what our simplicity is? A lot of times we think we do so much, but we need to be restored to our first love. You know, Lord Jesus, I love you. Always start your day there. Lord Jesus, I love you. Because you know what happens? It just turns our heart, Nehemiah. It just turns our heart. When someone says, I love you, it even softens my heart. You know? Okay. Oh, what did I do? Okay. So I just want to spend a few more minutes on this, on point B. Your people will be my people. I'm going to kind of clump these together a little bit. But we need to be with those who pursue. Who are we with this weekend? We're with those that are pursuing. We're pursuing with those. And what are they pursuing? Righteousness. What this is we need to be righteous towards ourselves, not towards other people, in that you need to be right up to this, but it's towards ourselves. Lord, I want to live to the highest standard. Faith, that's towards God, Lord. Infuse me with faith. Love. We're loving our brothers and sisters. And what's the issue of this? It's a peaceful condition, right? But you know what helps us to do this? It's to be with those. Every Thursday night, I'm with those. I'm with some bros that are those. And that helps me to pursue, you know? One of them in the group chat is just, dude, he's blowing up our phone. It's like, it's Monday, and it's like, who's coming? Da-da-da-da-da. Are you sure you're coming? Are you coming on Thursday? But you know what? That helps me to pursue, you know? And it's not another serving. It's a young person. It just warms my heart that someone wants me to be there. But we need to get with those. Numero uno. You know, we love the Lord, and we need to get with those. And then, what is this? We need to be with those who love the Lord and love his appearing. Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
Lord Jesus, I love you. Do you love his appearing?
Yes.
Do you love his appearing?
Yes.
You know, the Bible is full of facts. Facts, faith, and experience. Okay, there's things in the Bible that were presented last night, and Brother Dennis said, maybe some of us, a little worried. You know what? But you know how we're brought into the experience of being ready? Is we apply faith. And that's by amening the word of God. Lord, you're appearing. Maybe it scares you a little bit, but you know what? Lord, I love you. Right? You just, amen, I do love your appearing. Amen, Lord, I do want you to come. You know what that does? That helps to prepare us. And it helps to make these facts our experience. Right? It helps to make it our experience. Amen is not a small word. We don't just get it just because we like it. Actually, infuse faith into us. Right? This is what encourages us to run this race. Okay, we need to make the church our dwelling place. Okay, Gabe, Isaac, where's Zach? Okay, come up here really quick. Quick. No delay. You got like 3 seconds. Yeah. Both, come on. All right, Nehemiah, Ben. Okay, just line up here. Scoot over. Okay, we have a group of young brothers, right? Who here is familiar with thread counts? When you talk about sheets, right? Thread counts. Okay, you maybe you've never heard of this. You know, Peter raises his hand in the back. Lord, you know, thread counts. What this is when you go to buy sheets and like bedding a lot of times, and even involves clothes. But a lot of times you talk about it with sheets, is that it's per square inch with the threads, how many threads there are, okay? And it can range from 200 to over 1,000. It can be over 1,000 threads per square inch. Can you believe that? That's a lot, 1,000 in a square. Okay, but in order for that to happen, it has to be very fine threads. And the finer something is, the softer it is. Right? But so you may think, well, soft is not, maybe not that strong. So you look at these guys, and right now you're like, maybe this is a square inch, and this is a square inch, and this is a square inch. Right? So you have like 3 square inches, but it's like maybe only a 2 thread count. You know, it's not that high. And the thing is, higher the thread count, it's like, ooh, everybody go, ooh. You know? I think about jumping into like a fluffy bed. Right? It's got a really high thread count. You're like, oh, it's so smooth. It's like, oh, I can't even feel it. It's so nice. You know? Well, you know the church life should be like this. A lot of times we just talk about it and, you know, Lord, build yourself into me. But you know what? Brothers, put all your arms around each other. Right? Amen. Right? Doesn't it all of a sudden, isn't it a little softer? Isn't it a little more attractive? Eldon, doesn't it want to make you get up there? All right, Eldon, get up there. All right. Right? Get in there. Get in the middle. Don't space out. What are you doing? He just got to get in there, right? Isn't that sweet? All right, be careful. Oh, be careful. All right, come forward a little bit. Right? The thread, there's the same space, but someone got at it. Isn't that sweet? All right, Mariah. Right? Oh. Right? Just get in there, you know? Guess what? You know what also happens? It becomes stronger. You think, oh, it's small, but actually it's more durable. It's not only stronger, but it's more long-lasting. It lasts longer, right? But it also, it's sweeter, it's softer. Amen. You know? Okay, group together a little more, right? It's just, okay, but look at each other and smile. You know? It just makes you want to be there. Pray. Lord Jesus, I love you. You know how this happens? You know, a couple of these brothers, we get together. These are my little group on Thursday night. And we sing. We just sing. We're all learning the guitar together. And it's just, you know what happens is we're getting our thread count. And others each week have even been coming and been added. But you know what? It's sweet. And it's like, that's my church life. That's my dwelling place. You know, I talked about that sunroom. You know where my sunroom is? It's Thursday nights with the brothers. Amen. You know? Okay, you guys can sit down. You know, I hope this paints a little picture that the church life, you know, there's the difference between a house, Annie, is a place that someone lives. Or it's a place that someone lives in. But you know what a home is? You have a homeowner. A home is a place that someone lives, but it belongs to them. You know, this is my home. This is my room. It belongs to me. Our church life should belong to us. You know, once again, Naomi and Ruth. Ruth was following Naomi, but eventually what happened? Ruth chose. She chose Boaz. She chose to be with these people. She chose to follow God, right? It became hers. It belonged to hers. But you know how it happens? It's little by little. She was picking up all the gleanings, right? It was little by little. And guess what? That became a supply to Naomi, you know? But I hope we would just be impressed by it. It just happens little by little. Our church life, it's very sweet. This is the place of rest. You know, I would just say, pray this prayer. Lord, may the church be my dwelling place. May it be my place of rest. Right? This is what he wants. This is what he wants all of us to experience. And it can happen in your, it needs to happen. Not that it can, but it needs to happen with you. That you would take ownership, right? And that the church life would belong to you, you know? And I hope this would just be an encouragement. You know, encouragement to all of us that it's very fine. It's very sweet. And guess what? As that happens, it's very attractive, you know? And this is even where the Lord finds his rest. Amen.